Let's pray. We're going to dive right in. Jesus, thanks for today. God, this is the day that you made, and we rejoice in this day. And God, I just pray these next couple minutes, God, that you would show us the truth of who you are, the truth of your word. God, I pray that it would come alive in our lives today. And God, again, I pray that whatever has our attention today, that you would help us to focus these next couple minutes, to hear what it is that you're saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to go there real quick. If you're a first-time guest, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for checking us out, our Sunday morning service. Proverbs 6 says this, and we've read this several times. I just want to start here. It says, there are six things that the Lord hates. No, seven things that he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, and a false witness who pours out lies. A person who sows discord in a family. So there's seven things there that the Bible's talking about that displeases the Lord. Thankfully, there are things that you and I can do that please the Lord. And those are things that I want to talk about. I'm not going to talk about just in my life things, because what pleases the Lord is where I'm going to find fulfillment in my life. See, a lot of people say, like, I just don't feel fulfilled in my life. I don't feel like there's completeness in my life. I don't feel like there's a plan that God has for me. In the last couple of weeks, we've covered a lot of things. First and foremost, that, yeah, you're going to have detours in your life. There's going to be things that happen in your life that you didn't plan on. Life threw you a curveball. It was crazy. That doesn't mean that God is done with you. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden life is over. It means that it was different than what you expected, and that God can do great things out of that detour. We talked about spiritual gifts, which when Pastor Sean's talking about spiritual gifts, we have to know what these things are. And we got to go deep into, how do I figure this out? But when I'm on a detour, I don't usually think about those things. And because I don't think about those things, I don't even care about those things. But God wants to use you, and he has gifted you to use you. But when you're thinking about the life and what it has happened to you, all of a sudden you're not using those things. Guys, I highly encourage you, because your gift isn't for you to hoard. It's not for you to keep to yourselves. It's for building up the body of Christ. And the body of Christ needs built up. A lot of amens on that one. Sweet. Sweet. I'm so glad you're awake today. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Think about that. When I'm living a life that pleases the Lord, this is not about you living a life of just not doing certain things. This is you being intentional on doing things that please the Lord. This is not just you abstaining from certain things. This is you abstaining and now shifting it in a different direction and doing things that please the Lord. When I do that, even people that are enemies with you are still at peace with you. Think about this for a second. Usually an enemy wants to do what to you? Harm you? Distract you? He's saying when your ways please the Lord, even your enemies shut up towards you. Even your enemies. What is it? What's the key? You're doing things that please the Lord. See, you and I want blessings. Everybody in this room does. If I said, anybody want a blessing today? You're going to say yes. You don't know what that blessing is, but you're going to say yes. Why? Because you want a blessing. Do you know how you get blessed? You do things that please the Lord. How do your kids get blessed? They do things that please you. No, I love them because they're my kids. And I have to. I just love them. But when you came home and the house was clean, and they cleaned the room and their homework was done, and it's 6:30 and they already did dinner, don't tell me you're not pleased with them. Versus the opposite. They came home and they haven't even opened the books. They came home and their room is filthy. They came home and they're begging you for what is for dinner. And you got to get takeout again. Don't tell me that you feel the same way. Anybody? The only people that should be confused right now are the kids. And I'm hoping they're going, that's the secret? That's the secret, you guys. You want allowance? It comes in the form of blessing and doing what you're told. Wow, this is good stuff. You want to live a life of blessing? Obey your parents. I should have heard way more amens from that. Gosh, you can tell maybe we don't have many parents of teenagers in this room. Because like I'm right now on the stage where I wish I had toddlers. And people with toddlers right now are going, really? You can have mine. Let's switch for a while. No offense, kids. No offense. I love you. Love you. Because I have to. So what ways can we please the Lord? First and foremost, my faith is what pleases the Lord. My faith. It is impossible to please God without faith, Hebrews tells us. You can keep reading it. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Listen, something happens to my faith when I constantly seek God. Something happens to my faith that in the middle of whatever I'm going through, I continue to seek him despite what is happening to me. Okay? This is where our faith grows. Our faith grows not in times of fruitfulness, but in times of drought. In times of planting. See, you and I want harvest, and harvest is great, but we only get from the harvest what we've planted. And I can only plant things. Yeah? If I'm planting pumpkin seeds right now and I'm getting apples, something's weird is going on, right? So if I'm planting seeds of joy, I'm going to get abundance. Crazy, it's joy. But if I'm planting doubt and confusion and I'm wanting faith to come up, not happening. Maybe you've been around people and they've made this statement. And it's a statement that we've talked about before. You know where I stand, but I want to talk about it a little bit more. You know that God will never give you more than you can handle. You've heard people say that, right? I'm going to make some of you mad right now. I actually believe God does give you more than you can handle. That's not fun. That's encouraging. Glad I came to church today. See, we take a passage from 1 Corinthians that's talking about temptations, which he does say he does not give us more temptation than we can handle. He makes a way out during temptation. It does say that, but it does not say that he gives us more. He will not give us more than we can handle. He actually does give us more than we can handle, and here's why. Because your faith needs to grow, and when you can't figure it out on your own, that's when your faith grows. And who determines that anyway? Who determines that this person can handle this and this person can handle this? Like, this is an impossible thing to start with. It's meant to, like, comfort people, but I think that confuses people. Because now I start going, well, what's wrong with me then? Why did God give me this then? Now there's confusion on what I'm going through and what's happening in my life. And now I'm questioning myself. And I'm questioning my identity. I'm questioning whether God loves me. And God's going, I'm growing your faith through what's happening to you. And that's when it happens. James says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for joy. I think we should look at our troubles a little differently. See, when I came to Jesus as a 17-year-old junior in high school, when I really came to Jesus, in that beginning, it's like the dating stage. You know what I mean? We're like, you're trying to impress Jesus and everything is a blessing at that time. It's like oohs and ahs. It's like, this is so awesome. God is so good. I'm finding God in the drive. I'm finding God in the, you know, fields, and I'm finding God in relation. I mean, I'm just seeing God everywhere. It's like dating. You know what I mean? Some of you are like, I haven't dated in a long time, so it's very impressive, and we're just trying to impress one another. And then it gets a little difficult. The first fight, the first disagreement, the first struggle, the first trial. And you find out in that moment, is what happened to me legit, or was I just on cloud nine? And you start asking yourself things like, do I really love this person? Do I really want to spend the rest of my life with this person? And our faith starts getting tested in the moment. Do I really believe God? Do I really understand what I'm singing? Do I really trust Him when it gets really difficult? And we start going through these trials. And what's happening in those trials is our faith is starting to grow. And we're starting to see God be faithful in that. And so what you're going through is an opportunity for joy, because what you're going through is radically changing you, even though in the middle of what you're going through, you don't see it as that. And it continues in James 1, says, and God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. I pray that you would bless this family. Oh, I want to bless God. God, could you bless me? God, I pray that you would bless this family. How do blessings sometimes come? Through patiently enduring the test. Gosh, that's a cuss word. I feel weird even saying it. Patiently enduring. Why? Because your faith needs to grow. When I think of the greatest Old Testament story of all time, you and I know it. We like to equate it to sports, but David and Goliath. I love it. You know what I love most about David and Goliath? I love the part where everybody in the nation was afraid, and a teenager stepped up to the plate and said, let me take this guy. But you know why he stepped up to the plate? Do you know why he was bold? It wasn't because he was arrogant. It wasn't because he was a teenager and had a mouth. It said that he stepped up and he said, I can take Goliath because I've already killed a bear and a lion. Which is way more impressive than Goliath, in my opinion. Because I've been to the zoo. I've never seen a 9-foot guy, but I've been to the zoo and saw the... Why did he have confidence? Because he'd already overcome a bear and a lion. So Goliath to him was nothing. Everybody else hadn't been through that test yet. The greatest of all warriors weren't even going against Goliath, but yet a teenager who didn't even put on the right armor went and took down Goliath. Why? Because he'd already been through the test. His faith had grown. See, right now you're facing your lion, but this is a word of encouragement for you. You ain't even seen Goliath yet. See, God is setting you up right now in whatever it is that you're going through. And it's for your faith to grow, but it's to grow so that one day you're going to face a Goliath, but you'll never step up and be confident facing your Goliath until you first tackle the bear. You're like, I don't even like the bear. And God's going, it's okay. It's okay. Just let's get through this together. Because you're remembering His promise. His promise is that He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. The other reason I don't believe that statement is because my self-reliance needs to die. In the beginning of Scripture, it says that we learn about how we like to go our own way. You and I. We like to do it our way. We like to do things our way. But this is contrary to what the Bible says in Proverbs 3. That I am to trust in the Lord with my whole heart and do not depend on my own understanding, but I'm to seek His will in everything that I do. And He's going to show me my path. Who's going to show you your path? Not your mommy and not your daddy. This is not your path to take. See, we have this misconception that my faith grows, and we have this misconception that my faith only grows in happy times. We have this misconception that we can handle things, certain things on our own, and God wants you to understand that you can't, and you are never intend to. So the more you fight that, and the more you trust in yourself, your self-reliance on yourself, it needs to die. You need to stop it. Because either that passage is true or none of it's true. And let's be real. And this is not a knock on any individual. If it is, it's a knock on myself. We're really not that smart. So I don't want to trust in my own ability. My ability is going to fail me. My ability is going to mess up. But when I trust in the Lord, and listen, you know what else changes when I take that passage and I put it in my life? I don't get to choose the path. That freaks the control people out. Like, but I want to choose the path. That's not what it says. Well, how do I know if I'm trying to learn? What path are you on? We need to learn about God's character. And I only learn about God's character when I'm going through something. Because when I'm not going through anything, then it's lovey-dovey. Yeah? We're good. Life's good. Money's in the bank. Kids are somewhat behaving. We're good. Me and my wife, we're lovey-dovey. She's kissing me in front of the kids, and kids are getting all crazy and saying things. I like those moments, you know? But when it's hard and when it's difficult, this is when I find out what I really believe. This is when I find out what her character is, what your character is. When you go through something, that's when you find out what kind of character you have. And this is what he's saying. God's character, trials teach us that God is faithful. And no matter who knows and loves you, no one knows and loves you better than God. No one. Listen, the people in your life are not a guarantee. But God's love is. And some of you, you've discovered that. There's not a guarantee. We are not promised tomorrow. And even though you have people in your life, God's promises of never leaving you and never forsaking you are true. When do I find that out? When I'm going through something and I feel alone. That promise is I've never left you. When you're with someone that's struggling, be with them. Pray with them. They're going through the hardest time of their life, do that. But do not tell them that God will never give them more than they can handle, because God is in every situation. And if it's not, then I don't need God at all. And I do in every situation. My faith is what pleases the Lord. And if my faith is not tried and tested, then what really is it? The second thing that pleases the Lord is my mind. Paul told the Roman church, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God and never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Here's a huge test for us. Am I following my flesh, or am I asking and depending on God? My faith pleases God, but my mind is as important with everything else that I do. So if my mind is following my fleshly, my carnal, the things that I was born into, and not what God wants, there's conflict, there's hostility, There's distraction. There's confusion. Why? Not because you're a bad person. You're just being controlled by your sinful nature. And now your sinful nature, though it's in here, it eventually gets out here. Your responses now are all different. You're responding with anger and bitterness. Why? Because you're controlled by your sinful nature. And guys, this is real easy to determine. How do you respond? That's how we figure out what we're controlled by. And the last one. And you, some of you say last, you think you're getting all excited because you think I'm almost done. Like, oh, last one. There's only three. This is the biggest one. My obedience. My obedience is what pleases the Lord. Psalms 119 says it this way. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. What are they? Joyful. Verse 2. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. This is a plea from David. This is a plea. Like, God, I will trust you. Hebrews 5:8 says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. How did Jesus learn obedience? Through suffering. Some people think obedience is just like this gift, like, oh, they either have it or they don't. Know. It's a learned thing. And sometimes you and I learn different ways. Some of you, you learn real quick. Like, you are a quick learner. And people have commented on, man, he is a quick learner. Some people, you're like, you're a little slower. We're a little slower. And then there's some things that we learn quickly to be obedient because maybe it is part of our personality. But it says Jesus, God's son, learned it through suffering. 1 Thessalonians says it this way, and there's 8 verses. I'm not going to read them all. But it says, dear brothers, we urge you in the name of Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God. And as we have taught you, you live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. For you remember what we taught you by the authority of Lord Jesus. God's will for you is to be holy. So stay away from, and he begins to list sexual sins. He's saying, stay away from those. Verse 7, he says, God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules, it's not disobeying human teaching, but it's rejecting God. Who gives his Holy Spirit to you? So we understand, quick little history. The disciples are walking with Jesus and they're seeing crazy stuff. Jesus tells them, guys, I'm about to die. They freak out. In their world, their lives are about to radically change. Jesus makes comments like, guys, don't worry. When I leave and go to the Father, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And there's going to be great things that are done on the earth through the Holy Spirit. So I'm sending you this promise, this gift. So here's what he's saying. When you don't obey, you're not disobeying people. People are going to be disappointed. People are going to be frustrated with you. But in the end, you're not disappointing them. You're not disobeying them. You're disappointing God. You're disobeying God. It's way deeper and bigger than what you think. See, when I disobey, it affects the people around me. But ultimately, it affects me and God. And he says, this gift, this promise is from God. So when I reject God, I'm rejecting this gift that he gives us. Basically, here's what he's saying. When I reject God, when I'm disobedient, I'm rejecting the blessings of God. I'm rejecting the plans of God. I'm rejecting the paths of God. And now all of a sudden, I'm lost and I'm confused. And I either in that moment, I get on the right path or I begin to blame the people around me and ultimately blaming God. But make no mistake, when you're disobedient, it does affect the people around you. Just like when you're obedient, it affects the people around you. And it gets crazier the more responsible you get. If you're a person in this room and you're a parent, now your obedience doesn't just affect you and your wife, it affects your kids and your grandkids. Well, the disobedience works the exact same way. When you're disobedient and you head down this path of disobedience, it doesn't just affect you. It affects everybody around you. But that disobedience, make no mistake, while it affects you and there's consequences to your disobedience, in the end, you are rejecting God. And because you're rejecting God, you reject the gift that he promised, which was the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is your advocate. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. The Holy Spirit is your leader. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things that Jesus taught. So when you're rejecting, understand your disobedience. That's why your obedience pleases God. Hear this today. Those of us in this room that are relying on your own strength, hear this today. God is calling you to obedience. And this obedience, some of it is very general. It applies to every single person in this room. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a promise to every single one of you. And it says in Acts that Jesus for 40 days, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us this, that for 40 days after Jesus' death and resurrection, he appeared to 500 people. It says over 500 people heard Jesus. It says Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait there. Oh my gosh. Anybody else hear that word wait and you're like, dear God, tell me anything else but not to wait. Just go to Jerusalem and wait. And it says in Acts chapter 1 that 120 people showed up. I'm not a mathematician, but 380 people disobeyed. 380 people missed out on the promise of the Holy Spirit, this gift, this encounter, this pouring out of God's Spirit. Missed. Why? Because they were disobedient. And they missed out. Have you ever missed out on something? You know that feeling of like, I just feel like I missed out on being there. I missed out on the encounter. These people, 380. I don't know if they showed up day one and all 500 was there, and by day two, they're like, I'm bored. I'm hungry. I'm sure they had legitimate concerns. I got things to do. I got people at home. I got kids to feed. I got games to go. I'm sure there was valid excuses, but nonetheless, on day 10, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, only 120 experienced that. And this is God's path. This is God's plan. What was his plan? His plan was that the Holy Spirit would empower the people to preach the kingdom of God. And that obedience, that the Holy Spirit empowering them would now, listen, you guys, the reason you and I meet today is because 120 people were obedient. Columbia, Illinois, he said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. And because I've poured out my Spirit, you will be witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Guess what? We're the ends of the earth. You and I, we're pretty far away from Judea and Samaria. We are the ends of the earth. Why? Because someone was obedient. Don't ever discount your obedience to what God is asking you to do. And in this room, there are men and women who God is asking and requiring. And it's gonna take waiting. It's going to take impatience. It's going to take trials. Listen, it's not like these guys showed up in the upper room and they didn't have to fear anything. They had to fear for their life. The guy that they had followed was just dead and killed. They couldn't walk out in public. Have you ever been so wanted to be killed? No, I haven't. People have hated me. I don't know that they've wanted to kill me. I didn't walk out of my house ever fearful for my life. This is what is happening to these men. It's not that they were obedient in great times. They were obedient in fearful times. And you or I are gathered, which sometimes take for granted this opportunity that we get to gather, that this was birthed in obedience by fearful, scared, obedient men and women who said, I believe God. And because I believe God means the ends of the earth, God has Columbia, Illinois in mind. How crazy is that, you guys? And I would say this to us. What is the earth missing out on because we're not being obedient? What is the earth missing out on because you won't take a 5-minute spiritual gift test? As crazy as that sounds, you need to know you. Would you quit relying on people to get you involved in things? You're waiting for someone to get you involved in things? The Bible says for you to be... You want friends? Be friendly. You want to be involved? Get involved. You want to do more on the earth, more on the kingdom of God? Would you rely on God to give you those things? Stop waiting for someone else to hold your hand. You need to jump out and do it. And you need to be obedient with what God... Is there going to be critics? Absolutely. There will always be critics. There will always be someone in their insecurity that will doubt what God has called you to do. But they're just jealous of what God has called you to do. Would you just mark it up as jealousy and not as something that you shouldn't do? Be obedient with what God has asked you to do. And let's change the culture. Let's change the earth. Let's change what God wants to do on the earth. That your obedience and you being obedient is dependent on the gospel getting out. I hope you feel that pressure. I hope you feel the burden today, that because that 120 was responsible for spreading the gospel. And because they took it serious, you and I are gathered in an air-conditioned, coffee-filled, pumpkin spice-filled world where we can share the gospel and we can live in freedom. Why? Because someone was obedient. Your obedience brings freedom to people. And God is calling you to live a life of obedience because that is what pleases Him. And listen, your trusting puts you on a path, you guys, that you would have never picked, but God did. And Jesus' example was this. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to do this, but not my will. Your will be done. Listen. We have to be men and women who bring who we are to God and say, God, your will be done. And some of you, God is going to put you on a path that you're like, God, I don't like this. And God goes, but wait, watch. Watch what I'm about to do. Trust me. Trust me. Be obedient. There's some of you in this room, God has been confirming, asking you to do something, and you've not. Some of you, it's with, you've waited. You've waited for more confirmation. Some of you, it's with a job. Some of you, it's with a relationship. You've waited, and God wants you to know now is the time to act. That's not for everybody. Listen, last night I looked at my wife and was like, how do you think that went? And she gave me one of those looks, like the, you know that look? You're like, oh my gosh, really? And this is not about me, you guys. This is about two gentlemen come up and said, that was life-changing for me. That was pivotal for where I am right now. People said, it's like you were talking to me. I said, that wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit talking to you. Some of you in this room, you got to write this down because in a year from now, this could be for you. Right now, it's not for you, but it is for someone. Listen, you need to be obedient in this season. Stop praying for God to bless you without your obedience. Obedience breeds blessing. Disobedience breeds consequences. God does not hate you. That was just the consequence of your disobedience. In fact, God still loves you, and he's still there for you, but he's not pleased with you right now. As a son, I would have rather been grounded. I would have rather things been taken away from me. I would have rather had so many other punishments. But when my father or my mother looked at me and said, "I'm just disappointed in you," that hurt way more than anything. Take my car. Take my pager. I'm sorry. Kids are like, "Pager? It's a pager." Sorry, that's what I had in high school. Do whatever you want. Ground me for however long. Don't say you're disappointed. That's what happens when we're disobedient. You guys, every single one of us in this room, back to what I said in the beginning, we want a blessing. This is how we bless and be blessed. Would you stand with me this morning? Note to self, don't ever say pager in church. These guys are going to come. And we're just going to sing a song. And it's an invitation. It's an invitation to you. And it's the same invitation that Jesus had to the 500. The invitation that Jesus had to the 500 was a promise, a gift. I'm not telling you you're going to be here 10 days. That was a specific invitation to them, but the same invitation is for you. And this invitation is to come and to trust, to come and understand that God's ways are greater. It is a invitation to believe God in the middle of your trial. It is an invitation to be joyful through whatever it is that you're going through right now. It is an invitation to go deeper than you've ever gone before. And in that deeper, it is to find out more about who you are than you've ever known before. Take the test. Talk with people. Ask people, "What do you think I'm really great at? Where do you think I'm gifted at?" This is not about something that you've learned. This is about the way that God gifted you. And every single one of you in this room, God has gifted you in a unique and special way. It's for you. It was created for you. It is special. But what does that really mean if I don't tap into that? What it means is I'm rejecting God. I'm rejecting this gift. If I was to give you a gift right now, and before you even open it, you go, "No thanks. I'm good." How do you think I would walk away? I would walk away rejected. Why do you think God feels anything different? Every day when I say to him, "God, here I am. I trust you. Will you do something special with me?" He's like, "Here's the gift. Use it." This is an invitation to expand the kingdom of God. Listen to what I'm saying to you right now. 120 men and women were radically changed, and the earth was never the same. God is giving us an invitation to do the exact same thing. To radically, you know what is so cool? I don't even know most of the names of those 120. You know why? Because that's not important. It's not important. I just know we're here today because of 120. And God's still in this day on that. Amen. Radically different in the earth. Do you agree with me on that? Amen. God, I thank you that your ways are still the same. God, that we can bring who we are, God, to this place of trust, to this place of surrender, and we say, God, here we are. Use us. Not for our name's sake, but to radically change the earth. God, use us in such a way that the kingdom of God is expanded. And God, I thank you for this invitation. This invitation to trust you, this invitation of a journey, this invitation for our faith to be stretched and to grow, it is an invitation. And it's an invitation of transformation, which is what you and you alone do. We are great at impressing, but you transform. God, it's what you do. So God, today, in these moments, God, would you capture people's heart? God, in a profound, God, I pray right now in these next minutes that you would speak certain things to people that they can be obedient on. God, creative ideas. God, a heart for missions, a heart for the lost, a heart for those being trafficked, a heart for their neighbor, a heart for their coworkers, a heart for their classmates. God, would you grab our attention today and transform your people? In Jesus' name, amen. Would you sing the song with us today?
Jesus is called.